Tonight at 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app, the exclusive reveal of the college football playoff top 25 rankings. Reese and the guys will break them down top to bottom and a live interview with the committee chair, Gary Barta. All that and more tonight, 7 Eastern. Again, you will see it live on ESPN and the ESPN app. And with that, I welcome you back to our studios. We are at the Seaport District at Pier 17. We're brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny. We have a huge hour coming your way with my football crew and much, much more. We're getting up with Monday Night Football and the Eagles, who reach another new low. What does it mean for the final month of the season and beyond? Plus, fresh off one of the biggest games anyone ever had, Tyreek Hill joins us live. Can anything slow down the fastest man in football? Man, monster college hoops tonight. One of the great coaches will join us, Hall of Famer Tom Izzo, live in this hour of Get Up, starting right now with the game of the night, Seahawks, Eagles in Philly, and obviously all eyes on Carson Wentz. First place in the division at stake for Philadelphia. Opening drive of the game, it starts badly. First throw, Richard Rodgers, nobody home. Next play, this is on third down, Wentz out of the reach of Greg Ward. Eagles go three and out to start the game. Second quarter, no score on a second and 14. That's incomplete. More struggles. Wentz 0 for 4 on the first two drives. Now second quarter, this is the second and 14. Wentz is on the sideline and Jalen Hurts is on the field for this play. He throws a completion to Alshon Jeffrey, then he goes off. Wentz comes on. That didn't seem to do almost anything. Next play, third and 8. Wentz back to throw, and Wentz gets sacked for what seemed to be sort of a recurring theme last night. He was sacked 6 times in the game. No first downs on their first 5 drives. Meanwhile, Russ starting to cook in the second quarter. He's looking for DK Metcalf, who's behind the defense, and he's all the way down to the 1. DK said he felt disrespected by an Eagles team that passed on him, and he made him pay. And that would set up this David Moore corner of the end zone. Up and good, and the Seahawks take a 7-0 lead. Next Seattle drive, second and goal. Wilson to Chris Carson. Carson, look at the physical running. They missed him when he was out for a few weeks. Bullies his way into the end zone, and Seattle's up 14-0. Eagles need an answer. Final seconds of the first half. Can they find one? Answer is yes. Wentz, Dallas Goedert, 3 yards for the score. It's 14-6. Extra point, no good. So that's your halftime score. Fourth quarter, 17-9 Seattle. Eagles on a 4th and 2, and they're going for it. And that is knocked down at the line of scrimmage by K.J. Wright. Eagles turn it over on downs. Ensuing drive, Russ looking to make him pay. Look at this catch from DK Metcalf on the sideline. Going up and bringing it in with the one hand. 10 grabs, 177 yards for DK. Field goal on the drive, 20-9 is the score. Ensuing Philly drive, 3 chances to get it in. First and 10 from the 21. No good looking for Goddard, so it's second down. Wentz, this time for Rager. Incomplete. They pick up 6 yards on third down. They're going for it on fourth down. Down 11 points with almost 9 minutes left, and that, I don't know what that one is. It's picked off. Wentz, another tough night. Seahawks hold on to win. Fly, Eagles, fly. Not last night. 23-17, Seattle.
Some things we just missed. We didn't execute. I can be better early in the games. You know, I think they made some plays early and did some things differently than what we had planned, but the slow starts are frustrating. You know, that's the biggest thing. I'm going to go back and watch and see how we can change that.
It's not about one guy. You know, we had breakdowns across the board, and it doesn't really matter, you know, who's back there. The mistakes were still going to be made, and something we got to fix.
I mean, how many times have we heard from Philadelphia this season, that's something we've got to fix? And here we are now in December, and they still haven't seemed to fix it. 3-7-1 is where they sit. And so, Greg, we'll start with you. We've talked a lot this morning, for those of you just joining us, about Carson Wentz, and clearly he bears some responsibility for the problems. But, Greg, I know you think it goes a lot deeper than just that.
I think it does, Greeny. You're only as good as your supporting cast at times. And when you're a young quarterback that's maybe a little bit on thin ice with your own personal confidence, you need some guys on the perimeter, some guys that you can rely on, that when things are going bad, this is who I'm going to target. And here are the picks in the first 4 rounds since Carson Wentz was drafted. These are their weapons, all right? Jalen Reagor, by the way, was picked one pick before Justin Jefferson. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was picked seven picks before D.K. Metcalf. Dallas Goedert is a good player. I'll give you Dallas Goedert. He's probably a top-tier, second, 1A, 1B type of tight end, but that was, you know, a few years back. And by the way, the year before that, you get a guy like George Kittle in the fifth round. So you can find good value at tight end later in the draft. They don't have the weapons. If you look at some of the decisions he's being forced to make, he's throwing it into tight coverage. And if your answer is Alshon Jeffrey and press one-on-one coverage, that's not a good answer. So they need to go and identify some legitimate playmakers, because right now they really don't have any on the perimeter at the skill spots.
Yes, if that's the answer, I would hate to hear what the question is. Meanwhile, they did something else last night, Jeff. Again, running Jalen Hurts. We've certainly seen teams that will bring a backup quarterback in to try and change up the look, but it wasn't clear that that's what they were doing with Jalen Hurts last night. Jeff Saturday, what did you think of that experiment?
Yeah, complete waste of time, Greeny. I mean, when you think about Hurts coming in for a play and throwing a pass and, you know, bringing him right back out, it's just so sporadic. There's no plan in place for what they're going to do with Hurts. I will say, though, you know, Greg brought up the point of playing Hurts and what that does for Carson Wentz last hour, right? He talked about how that could, you know, it's kind of undermining him. Well, let me tell you something, man. I was an undrafted free agent. They drafted second-round picks to replace me, Bill Polian. If you're not mentally tough enough to make $100 million and be worried about the guy behind you, I'm not really sure you're cut out for this gig, right? You're talking about a guy who is 23% off target, which leads the league. 8 interceptions from a clean pocket leads the league. Like, at some point, you got to play better. When you're the franchise guy, you have to get your team 2 or 3 wins. Look no further than Russell Wilson, you know, from 2017 with no receiving core, still wins 9 games. Listen, you got to play better. That's the bottom line. Carson Wentz.
Listen, both can be right, right? I mean, Dan Graziano, both of them can be right in what they are saying. Carson Wentz can be struggling and not carrying the team the way a franchise quarterback does, and they can have done a poor job of putting people around him. So what is the fallout, Dan, if this doesn't get better this last month? What do you think happens in Philly?
Yeah, I think anything's on the table at this point. I mean, you know, you're 3 years removed from Doug Peterson winning the first Super Bowl title in Eagles history, and yet I think if this doesn't get fixed and quickly, there are going to be legitimate questions about the security of his job. We heard Sal Palantonio refer to it earlier in the show. It's a real thing right now that is being talked about around Philadelphia. And if things continue to get worse, then I think the organization starts to assess things like that. Look, I mean, yes, the roster has not come together the way they wanted it to. Is that on the front office? Yes. The coaching staff is not handling the quarterback situation well, and the starting quarterback has regressed. Is that on the coaching staff? Yes. Is it on the quarterback? Yes. There is a lot of blame going around in that building right now, and quite frankly, it's just a total system failure, and if they don't get it turned around in the next 4 or 5 weeks, you know, you do wonder if there's going to be some fallout in the form of jobs lost.
No question, but it should be reminded again, the one person who's coming back is Wentz. The contract dictates that no matter what happens, it's practically impossible to imagine a scenario where Wentz isn't the starter next year. Okay, you know what we need right now for breakfast? We need Jeff and some pancakes. Set him down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw him out the club. Swagoo, throw him out the club. You see him? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancake.
Ooh. We all love it. Jeff Saturday showing you the best blocks from your week in football and handing out the pancakes. The floor is yours, my friend.
Greeny, it's a hearty breakfast this morning because we're going a lot of interior offensive line play today. We're going to show you some center love, which you know I'm all about that. Starting in Tampa, Ryan Jensen, look at that right there. Gets a little bump and just throws him out the club, hits the ground and just eyeballs him like, what's up, little man? Won't you pop up? Absolutely love the block. One pancake because he did get a little bit of a bump help, but I love the tossing him out and then the eyeball, just looking at him down, nothing better. Better than that. Let's take it to college. Alabama Crimson Tide, 3rd and 15. Listen, this is as nasty as it gets when you bang up from the inside. Watch him peel off and hit. Now, here's my favorite part, Greeny. Look at him jump down on him. Not only does he look at him, jumps down to make sure he finishes it. He gets two pancakes because he finished it on the ground, which every O-line coach in the league loves. That's what I'm talking about, Mr. Dickinson. Finally, John Miller. Now, listen, everybody's going to talk about this gets a flag. I don't care. I love this. Look at him. Reaches him, takes him 5 yards, continues to drive him. Sidelines, we don't stop because of sidelines, Greeny. Sidelines mean nothing to us. We're on a train. We're going to dump this man and then look down in our own sideline. How good does that get for my man Miller? Three pancakes and the flag. We'll take it all. I love it, Mr. Miller.
Outstanding. There's really nothing to add. That is as good as it gets every single week. Jeff Saturday handing out pancakes on Get Up. As we continue, is Buccaneer Bruce doing the impossible, turning Tampa Tom into an interception machine? Who gets the blame for the disappointment? We're talking about it. And Tyreek Hill destroyed that defense on Sunday with an unbelievable performance. The fastest man in football will join us live next. Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and by now, of course, you've seen it. Tyreek Hill, one of a day for the ages, candidly, on Sunday. Chiefs and the Buccaneers, first quarter, first and 10 from the 25. This is Patrick Mahomes. This is Tyreek Hill. The ball goes 61 yards in the air, 75 yard touchdown. Deuces, says Tyreek, but he was just getting started. We're still in the first quarter. It's Mahomes again. It's Hill again. This time, the question is, can he stick the landing on the backflip into the end zone? When it was all said and done, he went for 203 yards and two touchdowns in the first quarter. And then in the third, they needed to do it one more time. It's Mahomes again. It's Hill again. Tyreek Hill, his third touchdown of the day. And a little later, he's calling for help because the Buccaneers certainly need it. And here he is, Tyreek Hill, fresh off of that performance, live with us on Get Up. It is a pleasure to have you here. And you know, when you're calling for help there, I can tell you this. Rex Ryan, who's a great defensive coach, was on this show yesterday screaming about how they didn't ever roll their coverage toward you. So when you walk up to the line of scrimmage and you see that, what's the first thought that goes through your mind?
First thing that goes through my mind is just, is Pat going to throw the ball? I mean, which I know he is, you know, so that's just the trust that we've built over the years, you know, and I'm just, I don't know, man. I'm just blessed to be a part of this situation, you know, to use my God-given ability.
Well, so Rex is yelling, they need to go over there and do something different defensively. Let's make you a defensive coordinator, because no one can stop Tyreek Hill, it seems. How would you do it? If you were scheming up to play against you, how would you try and cover you?
Well, you know what? I really don't know, man. I mean, I may seem to get all the credit, but, you know, it's not me in the game planning. It's Eric Bieniemy and Coach Reed. They end up doing all the game planning, you know, to, like, scheme me to get open, you know. And obviously, you know, I got the best quarterback in the game. So just having him and Kelsey and Sammy and McCole and just having the weapons that we got on the field, you know, is just allowing me to get one-on-one coverage. So, you know, like I said, I'm just blessed to have this opportunity, you know. I mean, I'm going to continue to work hard for this team. I'm going to continue to just go out, you know, give my all. So, like I said, I'm thankful.
Let's talk about your quarterback. We all watch him and we all marvel at what Patrick Mahomes has been able to do in his career. How would you describe what it is like playing with him?
You know what? It's sometimes it's crazy, you know, because of, like, the things that he's able to do at practice, like some of the throws, like he does, you know. So I'm like, man, like, his arm talent is crazy. Like, he doesn't need all of the quarterback mechanics, you could say, you know. He can just laser the ball, you know. So, like I said, I'm just blessed to just have him, you know. I mean, McCole, Sammy, Kelsey, we're all just ecstatic, you know, just to have him. You know, he always wants to win. He always wants to get better. Always taking coaching from Coach Reed. So that's why I love the guy. You know, a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who's at the top of his position, you know, and still getting better. I mean, who wouldn't want that for a quarterback? So,
kind of scary for the rest of the league. But speaking of scary, I want to make sure you're aware of what you may have gotten yourself into without knowing it. So let's go through what happened here. A Chiefs fan posted here this thing that said, "You're first at, the first person you followed is someone that you have to race." And with football pads on. And so you tweeted at Adam Schefter Obviously, Shefty was the first person that you followed on Twitter, and so you challenged him to a race. And Shefty responded by tweeting, "This is happening post-COVID." Now you may not know this, but Shefty's a pretty speedy guy. I just want to show you what you've gotten yourself into here. I hope you can see this. Go ahead, guys. Let's roll a little video. Shefty ran a forever in the 40-yard dash, and that's just a good look at him taking off and sprinting. So, what are your thoughts on this race now, Tyreek, you against Adam Schefter?
You know what, man? I'm pretty scared. You know, his form is already better than mine, you know, so I have, you know, I need to work on my form a little bit more. But yes, Shefty, man, post-COVID, we got to get it in, man, for charity or something like that, and let's just have fun with it and roll it. You know, and guess what, Shefty? If we run in 100 yards, I will give you 40 yards, fully padded me, and I will beat you, man. I'm calling you out, Shefty. I'm calling you out, man.
40? You're giving him 40?
I'm giving him 40 yards. Let's go.
Right. I'm representing Mr. Schefter now. We're going to need more than that. I've seen you run, and I've seen him run. We're going to need more than 40 yards. Can we get it? I think if we got it to 50, we'd have a fighting chance.
I can't do 50, man. Maybe 50 on a good day if I'm feeling good.
Well, I have a feel. Right, I'll get in touch with your people, and we'll see if we can't work that out. But all kidding aside, yes, sir, will be fun. And if you guys can get together and do that for some sort of charity, I think it would be great. Congratulations on a great week, a great game, continued success, and thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for having me. Hey, Mom, I love you.
That's Tyreek Hill with us here. Again, coming off of 3 touchdowns and a monster day on Sunday. Coming up, speaking of monster days for receivers, did you see DK Metcalf last night? Are the Seahawks one of the best teams in the NFC? Are they ready to go primetime? We'll talk about it. And then later, a monster college hoops game tonight. One of the great coaches will join us live. Tom Izzo, the Hall of Famer, on the way as we continue Get Up this morning. And we also have this little sneaky Hembo time for Graziano. Who was the winningest quarterback in the month of December over the previous 3 seasons? The answer is next. We are back on Get Up, and Graziano, a warning. This is a sneaky one from Hembo. Who was the winningest quarterback in the month of December over the previous 3 seasons?
And because it's sneaky, I feel like I'm not going to get it. I'm going to have to take a guess. I don't feel like the Chiefs ever lose in December. I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that would seem to be right. He has 9. But the answer is Matt Ryan with 10. I can tell you I would never have gotten that. There are 5 quarterbacks that have 9. Brady, Breeze, Rivers, Goff, and Mahomes. But the right answer is Matt Ryan. Amazing. All right, coming up. How many wins will it take to win the awful NFC East? You may be surprised to hear who our guys think is going to come out on top. That's on the way. Get Up on ESPN.
We need your help. I need your help. We need money for research. It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love. And it's very important.
Today is the most important day of the year for us. It's Giving Tuesday, a global day of giving. And for us, it's the beginning of ESPN's V Week. As we carry on Jimmy V's fight against cancer, you can help support cancer research needed now more than ever at v.org/donate. 100% of every dollar you give goes directly towards fighting cancer. All right, back to the action. And last night, Seahawks on the road against Carson Wentz and the Eagles. And it was a difficult night for Carson Wentz. As you see here, he overthrows Jalen Reagor in the first quarter. Wentz 0 for 4 in the first 2 drives of the game. But this was a game that will belong to DK Metcalf. This is late second quarter. It's scoreless. And you got Russell Wilson throwing it up. And you got DK Metcalf bringing it down 52 yards. Seahawks would score 2 plays later, 7-0 lead. In the fourth quarter, they're up by 8. And it's Wilson again. And look at this catch from DK Metcalf. Look at him go up and get it. 10 catches, 177 yards on the night for him. And it would be enough for the Seahawks to hold on for the win. Here's how it finished. Fourth quarter, Eagles down 11 on a fourth down. That's an interception. In the end, it is the Seahawks winning by 6. And it was DK Metcalf who was very motivated last night.
The defensive coaches came up to me and it kind of made me mad that he was like, I was in Detroit with Megatron, but you're not there yet. In my mind, I'm not trying to be Megatron. I'm trying to be me. So you know, had a little chip on my shoulder the whole game.
Now, bear in mind, the Eagles passed on him as well, and so the good calls today brought to you, as always, by Subway. Last night, a good call was throwing it in the direction of DK Metcalf, again, connecting with Russell Wilson, 177 yards. All other Seattle receivers had 53 yards combined. Metcalf also became the fastest Seahawk to reach 1,000 receiving yards in a season by doing it in his 11th game. And let me bring Jeff and Greg in here. There's been so much talk this week about Tampa and their struggles. New Orleans, who basically played a non-game this weekend. Green Bay looked really good. Jeff, Saturday, as you watch Seattle play, where do they rank for you amongst the NFC's elite?
Yeah, I put them third, and I put them behind Green Bay and New Orleans. Look, I like this football team. I think they stick to the KISS principle, right? Keep it simple, stupid. You saw, right? They saw man coverage against Metcalf. They're going to exploit it. I mean, I think they threw almost 50% of their passes to Metcalf or right under it. That's just an incredible stat when you think about, hey, we're just going to go take what they're giving us. Their run game came back with Carson coming back and getting healthy. It really helps this offense. The defense we know is the liability. Can they continue to progress to get better? Jamal Adams, I know he's blitzing and doing those kind of things, but can they hold serve for this team? If they can, I think they're the third best team right now in the NFC.
Jeff, how about that? How about you? Greg, NFC, a big picture, how much do you like Seattle?
I had them as low as 5. Now I'm with Jeff up to 3. And it's not because of their offensive prowess. We knew they could score points. The problem is they were turning the ball over a pretty ridiculous rate there for a little bit, including Russell Wilson making a lot of careless decisions. But more importantly, guys, they found something these last 10 quarters on the defensive side of the football. Ever since trading for Carlos Dunlap, that pass rush has been energized. It's a totally different looking group, and it feels as though at halftime against the Rams, they kind of turned the corner. Then they really put together a nice performance against the Arizona Cardinals. Then last night was as good as it gets on the defensive side of the football. So if you look, too, down the stretch, they might be favored in every game down the stretch. So there's a lot to like about what they're doing on both sides of the ball right now.
With Carson back, they can run a little bit. Obviously, they have the receivers. Russell's an MVP candidate. If they get any defense at all, Seattle becomes very dangerous in that NFC. Guys, sit tight. Meanwhile, the other big story in the NFL, the weekend isn't over yet. The COVID-19 outbreak in Baltimore leading to Ravens Steelers being postponed again, now to Wednesday. This game, the Steelers Week 13 game against Washington then has been moved to Monday. The Ravens game the following week against Dallas has been moved to Tuesday. So obviously it's all a lot of moving pieces. Here's the Steelers' Zach Banner.
At some point, there has to be a decision made that we're going to play this game. We just don't understand how the whole Denver thing, like, I understand, like, you know, there's been people getting tested every single day. That probably is the only rational reason. But, I mean, Denver's just played without any quarterback. You know what I mean? They just brought their guy up off a P-squad. So I thought we have extended rosters for a reason, but that's just me.
All right, so that suggests it's not quite as clear as we might have thought, the difference between what happened in Denver and what's happening in Baltimore, and that's why Dan Graziano can explain it to us. Go ahead, Dan.
In Baltimore, they had a team-wide outbreak. They've had at least one positive test each of the last 9 days. There are 21 people on the COVID-19 list. They need to get the thing under control before they can decide it's safe for the Ravens to assemble and play a game. That's different from what happened in Denver, where one guy tested positive and the contact tracing revealed that three of his high-risk close contacts had to be taken off the field for 5 days as a precaution required by the COVID protocols. They just all happened to be quarterbacks. There's a feeling out there that Denver was punished for not following protocols and the Ravens weren't. Denver was not punished. It just so happened that the timing of the situation and the fact that they were all quarterbacks resulted in them all having to miss the game.
And so as of now, this game is scheduled to be played tomorrow, 3:40 in the afternoon, because NBC is committed to showing the lighting of the tree ceremony tomorrow night in prime time. Meanwhile, the game has to be played for a number of reasons. One of them is it means a lot. The Ravens are currently on the fringes of the playoff picture. A loss would put them in very precarious position with 5 games remaining. All right, more football as we go, but how about this? Huge night of college basketball is coming up. The State Farm Champions Classic. We've got Kansas and Kentucky squaring off, both teams starting out 1-1. Kentucky's never been under 500 through 3 games under Coach Cal, and then the legendary coaches meet up, Duke and Michigan State. That means Coach K against Tom Izzo, and it is as good as it gets when we see those two together, and it is my pleasure to welcome the Hall of Famer Tom Izzo live with us here on Get Up. And Coach, it is great to see you, and it is great to see you hopefully feeling well. You announced in November that you had tested positive. I know I speak for everyone when I say we hope that you are feeling good and that there are no issues.
Well, I appreciate it, Greeny, and it's great to see you, and I am feeling much, much better. It was a no-joke couple of weeks. It wasn't real bad, but, you know, I hope everybody takes it a little more seriously than I think our country has. At the same time, I'm feeling good, ready to go, and what a great night for basketball. It's this Champions Tournament has been really special for the last 10 years, and you look at the ranked teams, and I think it'll be again this year.
Absolutely. So, look, you've been around a really long time. How would you describe what this season is about, considering all of the circumstances? What is it about this year?
Well, as I told my players back in September, you know, it's going to be about survival as we're learning the NFL. And, you know, the NBA kind of helped us as far as learning how to sacrifice. And I think that's what we all have to do this year. It's not the norm. It's going to be different. You guys have a different situation there. We have a different situation. If you want to play the game, you got to adhere to the protocol. And I think he who handles the protocol the best, and like us, we're talking about playing more guys because we're preparing for losing a guy or two down the road. It's just the nature of the beast this year, and yet it can be done if everybody works together.
You know, when the season tipped off last week, I had Seth Greenberg here, and he said to me, this year, Greeny, is all about experience, and I would assume that is true for both coaches and players. How does that work for you and your team?
Well, you're right, you know, and everybody's in the same boat. I mean, it's not like I have an advantage over Duke or they have an advantage over us. Everybody's got the same issues, the same problems. If you have more experienced players, does it help you a little bit? Maybe, you know, but I don't think anybody's been through this. I've sure never been through it as a coach. You've never been through it in TV. This is something new for us all. So I think we handle it together. I think personally, it's brought our team a little closer because we have nowhere to go or nothing to do. So everybody spent a little more time together. And I think it could help your camaraderie in a funny sort of way.
Kind of like that way of looking at it. And so you face Coach K tonight. I can't count the number of times we have seen the two of you go head to head. What does that rivalry mean to you?
Well, it's not as good a rivalry yet because of the number of times we've gone head-to-head. He's gotten the best of more of them, and deservingly so. But, you know, I think we got two good programs. There's no question they're good again this year. They're always going to be good as long as he's there, just because of the nature of the beast. You know, they've done an unbelievable job with their program. But I think we have, too. And we've got a good team this year. I'm not sure any of us know, Greeny, exactly where our teams are. Not only do you have to evaluate your team, but you got to wonder that the teams you play, did somebody have COVID? Did they have a stoppage? You know, there's going to be the sample size is going to have to take 8 or 10 games for any of us to get a good clue where we are. But as again, it's the same for everybody. So we're ready to play the game. It's going to be a great night of basketball.
Coach, it is great to see you. It's great to see you doing well. Good luck tonight as your season gets underway. I'll see you down the road.
Thanks a lot, Greeny. Good luck to you guys. Stay safe. Mask up.
You too.
Take care.
You too. Most important, stay healthy. Thank you so much. Tom Izzo, the Hall of Famer. And again, tonight, ESPN, the ESPN app, State Farm Champions Classic, Michigan State and Duke, 7:30 Eastern from Cameron Indoor. Number 6, Kansas and Kentucky follow that from Indianapolis. Should be two great games, and you'll see all the action tonight on ESPN. As we continue, is Buccaneer Bruce doing the impossible, turning Tampa Tom into an interception machine? Who gets the blame? We assign it next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Get Up is brought to you by Marathon, fueling the American spirit. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio here as we continue with Get Up this morning. We are with you commercial free for the next 15 minutes. And then after that, it'll be time for First Take at the top of the hour to take over. And they'll be busy. Do the Eagles need to clean house after last night's performance? Stephen A., Max, and Molly will talk about that and much more. They're 14 minutes away. And we're with you again, commercial free from now until then. Here's how we begin that. We'll go on the clock and we'll call this upon further review because there were so many things that happened over the course of the last few days that felt like they didn't get enough attention here. And so let's give them that 30 seconds and I will start, Greg, with you. Cleveland squeaking past Jacksonville over the weekend. What should we be saying about the Cleveland Browns right now? 30 seconds, go.
That they're 5-0 in one-score games, and they've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat. Yeah, so they got blew out by the Ravens and, of course, the Steelers, but that's to be expected, right? And they're a team that's on the fringe of the playoffs. Right now, Baker Mayfield's playing pretty decent football. He actually has, believe it or not, the highest QBR in the AFC North. That's right, ahead of Lamar, ahead of Big Ben, and, of course, ahead of rookie Joe Burrow. So he's actually playing pretty decent football and is coming off a pretty decent performance. Now, it gets very tough down the stretch. They might go 1-4 to finish the season, which would, of course, probably leave them on the outside looking in. But all things considered, this is a team that's playing halfway decent.
All things considered, halfway decent is a massive step forward from where they were. Of that, there is no debate. We can parse just how well we think the quarterback is playing at a different time. But meanwhile, Jeff, I want to come to you because the Tennessee Titans put down what I thought was the statement of the season in the first half against Indianapolis. So only put 30 seconds on the clock. How good are the Titans, Jeff? Go.
Well, if they can clean up their third down defense, which is last in the league, they are the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC. Listen, this football team, you saw it, is physical, not only at running back, but with A.J. Brown and Davis at wide receiver. These are big physical guys who can bring it to you and keep your offense watching. The craziest part about this football team is they're not really a team that controls the ball, which they should be. That's all because of their third down conversion rate and third down. They get that solved. This is a team nobody wants to play come playoff time.
You know, it's interesting. That looks a lot like what they did a year ago when they got hot late and, of course, made that run all the way. But I want to pick up on something you just said. You said the biggest threat to the Chiefs, meaning you think they're more dangerous to Kansas City than Pittsburgh is?
I do, because I think from their offense, if they can get off the, if they can stay on the field, they can control the clock. Right now with Pittsburgh's offense, they do a lot of, hey, let's spread out. Their run game really hasn't come into form. Their defense is better, obviously, than where the Tennessee Titans are. But offensively, I'm not sure they can, that the Steelers can match as good as they are. When you think about the Titans and the points they can put up, I mean, think about who you're going to, you can't cover Brown one-on-one. You don't want to do that with Davis one-on-one, but because of the load that Derrick Henry brings to the table, you have to bring eight guys down the box. I mean, it's just one of those things where this is a team that matches up well. Again, they were up 17-7 last year in the playoffs against the Chiefs. They couldn't get them off the field. The Chiefs were 60% on third down conversion to playoffs last year. Very similar, in my opinion, but a team that could definitely challenge that Kansas City Chiefs offense.
That's an interesting way to look at it. It's been such a crazy season in so many ways. Let's see who is hot. As we roll into the playoffs, the Titans look like they're a candidate for that. On the opposite side, another tough weekend for Tampa Tom and the Buccaneers, and it again brought about plenty of criticism regarding the style of offense that their team is running. Yesterday, head coach Bruce Arians was asked about incorporating more pre-snap motion. Listen to what he said.
We've done it in the past, and we did it for years. I never see
a lot of quarterbacks. You know, Peyton Manning never wanted anybody in motion. So each quarterback's so different what they want the motion for. We have used jet motion a little bit. I'm not a big fan of it. So if it's going to disrupt what you're doing versus just blocking people.
Has Tom Brady asked for more motion in the offense to help him identify coverages?
That's the motion that we use, yeah.
But I'm saying, has he asked for more of that? You use it sparingly in your offense, but has he asked it in more regularity?
We do as much as he wants.
Interesting. The relationship there is fascinating to watch from afar. But, Jeff, you don't have to wonder about anything. You were on that team he's talking about. You were the center on the team that he's talking about with Peyton Manning, where they didn't run any, as he said, any motion whatsoever. Take us to that. What does he mean?
So we ran a block it up principle, and you heard him use those words, right? Just block it up. That means you want to use alignment of defense to tell you what they're going to try to do and voice inflection on the snap count. So you know exactly where guys are. Can they blitz you? Where are they going to blitz from? So that everybody knows their assignment and can pick it up to protect Peyton Manning, to let him get the ball off. All this motion stuff that everybody's talking about. By the way, his QBR, Tom Brady's, is 18 with motion, 82 without motion. Why? Because he knows exactly where pressure is coming from. So understanding how to get things blocked up is so much more important. That means they need to go back, practice together. Hey, here's how we're going to slide the line to pick up this blitz. Have those discussions. He's 100% truthful. Peyton Manning didn't want motion because all that's going to do is bring a guy in unnecessarily in the blitz pickup that he doesn't can't account for. Spread them all out. Understand where pressure's coming from. Get it picked up so Tom Brady, who we know is going to be a statue, you 4 yards behind the center, he can protect it and can deliver the ball. That's as simple as it gets, and he's 100% right in what he's talking about. You do as much as the quarterback wants, not a bit more.
Let me push back here a little, or at least in the form of a question, because it always felt to me watching it like Peyton Manning was essentially calling the play at the line of scrimmage with all the Omaha stuff and everything else as he's standing there. It doesn't feel like Brady is doing that at all. So those could be two ways, or a way in which these things are very different circumstances. I can't be the only fan watching it who thinks that. Tell me about that, Jeff.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is where you check with me is, right, when you go up to the line of scrimmage, you have more than one play called. Guaranteed, Brady has that same capability when he walks up. The difference between what Peyton and Tom are doing right now are the shots down the field. And to have those shots and to be effective in them, Greeny, means your protection has to be even better, which means block it up principle has to be in place even more. When you start motion, trying to hold the ball for 4 and 5 seconds to let somebody get open down the field, it takes more time. And again, this is not a moving quarterback. This is a guy who's going to be in one spot, and every defensive coordinator understands that. So when you start talking about the check with me's, that's as easy as it gets for Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, any of those guys. They can walk up and they have the ability to change an audible. The issue is they want to attack down the field. That requires protection, and that has to be the first priority of every play they're trying to run from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive perspective.
So that makes all the sense in the world. But Greg, do we have Greg's tape again? Because that really perfectly plays from this. So Greg, you ran this tape earlier. Let's show it again, because if their principle is let's make sure we get everybody blocked, they don't seem to be succeeding in that
at all, Greeny. And when they can't get them blocked, give Tom Brady some answers within the route scheme to get the ball out of his hands quickly. Let's just look at what happened against Kansas City just the other day. Here we got six blockers. They're only going to bring six. The first linebacker's protected. The second linebacker's free. So you have to throw hot. You have an unblocked blitzer coming right at the face of your 43-year-old quarterback. Well, the answer is not to throw the ball 35 yards downfield in a low percentage completion. Give the guy a slant. Give it quick. Same blitz. Same exact blitz. First linebacker's picked up, second linebacker is not. He's free, so it forces Brady to throw it a little bit early. It's incomplete. Here's another look at it. Hey, we're gonna do a block the internal now. Now we're gonna block those linebackers that have been coming free. That's the adjustment. Oh yeah, here, now, perfect. We'll leave the end unblocked. That works well with no answer on the outside. Same thing here on the interception. We're gonna block that linebacker that's been blitzing all day long. Squeeze it down. Perfect, Tom. Hey, you're 43. You handle this defensive end. I know you can do it. No, that's not the way you take care of the protections. They're having unblocked guys over and over and over again throughout the course of the game. And if you want Tom Brady to be at his very best, you have to do one of two things. Protect him and push it down the field, or protect him, and or if you can't protect him, give him a quick answer so he can get the ball out of his hands feeling comfortably with where he's throwing it.
I think this is really good. Go ahead, Jeff. I think we're really explaining things here that fans might not otherwise see. Go, Jeff.
Yeah, that's a fantastic tape. Let me. When Greg said, "Hey, we have six protectors and six blitzers," that means we got to pick it up. That means the scheme between the offensive line and the running back is not ironed out the way it should be. Those are the discussions they need to be having. And again, Peyton Manning and I would spend time on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday watching blitz tape. I mean, we would go back from defensive coordinators who were coaching teams 4 years prior and understand what their blitz expectations were, and you would figure out how to pick them up. When you have six for six, you got to be blocked up. It's no more complicated than that. That's the problem with Tampa Bay right now is Brady doesn't know in a hot if his receiver's going to do what he's supposed to do, and he doesn't know if his line and running back is going to pick up what they're supposed to. It's not hard to solve. You got to go back and practice it and get it ironed out in practice so it shows up on Sundays.
Go ahead, Greg. Final thought.
Yeah, just find something like a side adjustment. Instead of throwing the fade to Mike Evans on the left sideline on the first play in that clip, give him a slant. Like, there are little tiny adjustments that can happen to get the ball out of his hands quickly. So sometimes the defense wins. You can't block him all the time. Just give him some quick answers because he's smart enough to interpret it before the snap and have an answer for the pressure they're bringing.
The crazy as it sounds, maybe having the bye week now will actually help. They can do some self-scouting, and maybe they can try and put some new stuff in that they haven't had a chance to do all year. Okay, today is December 1st. So what we've asked the guys to do is put together some bold predictions for this last month of the NFL season. And Jeff, Saturday, I will start with you. What is your bold prediction for this December?
The Las Vegas Raiders win four of their last five and make the playoffs, Greeny. Listen, everybody's throwing them out because of the egg they laid against the Atlanta Falcons, and they played absolutely horrible. But if you look, everything is in front of them. They have to face the Colts and the Dolphins. I think they get one of those wins, win the rest, and they make the playoffs.
Okay, yeah. Again, it was an uncharacteristic performance. How about you, Greg? What's your prediction?
The Philadelphia Eagles are going to regret drafting Jalen Hurts, at least in the near term. They're married to Carson Wentz, and they've brought this on themselves. He can't go anywhere for the next two years, contractually speaking. It's going to cost way too much money. So them sprinkling Jalen Hurts is only adding more pressure to the coach and the quarterback, and I think they're going to really regret doing it down the road.
Yeah, look, I mean, the way they used him, at least yesterday, after a week in which Doug Peterson had such difficult to understand comments, he seemed so uncertain about what he was going to do at quarterback. And listen, Jeff, Saturday, we see change of pace quarterbacks all the time. The best example right now is Taysom Hill when Drew Brees is healthy. Right. But that didn't appear to be what they were doing last night. I don't have any understanding of what they were trying to do last night.
Absolute waste of time. I mean, you're going to run them out there and throw a pass and then run them back off in third down? I mean, like none of that. There's no plan in place of how do we use him as a spark for this offense. You don't have to make a wholesale change, but you better have a package put together for this young guy if you really want to develop him. And by developing it, help your offense and take a little pressure off Carson Wentz. The whole thing last night, I mean, truthfully, it's an embarrassment because there's no reason to have done what you did. It didn't improve the player, and it dang sure didn't improve your offense.
All right, we'll see. Again, they are all alive in that division. Both of these two guys told me earlier they think Washington will wind up winning the NFC East. Let's finish it with a smile on our face this morning, guys, and I need you to help me because I'm now representing my client, Mr. Schefter, and he and I are actually texting back and forth. That is what Schefty looks like running as fast as he can. That's as fast as Schefty is capable of running, and it's pretty good. You can see the look on his face. We have a race set up now between Schefty and Tyreek Hill. Tyreek was on this program earlier this morning telling us that he would give Schefty 40 yards head start in a 100-yard dash. And I'm trying to negotiate for a little more yardage for my man Schefty. He and I are texting back and forth about this right now. Jeff, what is the head start you think Schefty needs to beat Tyreek Hill in a 100-yard dash?
40. I'm all in, my man Shefty. Listen, I've worked out with Shefty. I've seen him in the hotel gym. This guy, he's getting underestimated right now. I'm with you, Shefty. Make sure you're training. Take care of your business. But I like him at 40 yards, Greeny. I think he takes the victory and just sails up. Make sure he has somewhere to jump like he did last time, because you don't want him falling on his face, which is a strong possibility if he gets all 60 yards. But give him that 40. Yes. Let's go get the win, Shefty.
What do you think, Greg?
I think I want everyone to visualize what's going to happen. The end result is going to resemble what happened with Daniel Jones in the open field. Like, Shefty's going to have this incredible head start. Everyone's trailing him. Next thing you know, oh, hamstring down. Like, that's exactly what's going to happen. So I'm just concerned about Shefty's well-being, knowing the cheetah's on his tail.
We'll see. Again, I'm working with Shefty on this now. I'm negotiating for more yards. We'll see how I do. Guys, thank you for getting up with us today. Thank you for getting up. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.